Good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning.
See, I knew that was coming. I already prepared for that. So I wanted to say this. This is going to sound so creepy. I'm not going to call this person out that I watched this happen with. But, you know, we come to church and we sit here and we sing songs and we just stand here and we just sing. And every now and again, you'll get this. Every now and again. And there's one person in particular, I'm not going to call them out, but they kind of sway and they're like into it, right? But there's a couple of you I've seen recently in town. You think your tinted windows hide you, but they don't, all right? You're in there and you're like doing this number and jamming and all that stuff and, you know, getting excited. And then you come to church and you get all bored. Oh, I'm here. So, like Rashad, you know how teams get pumped up before they go in. There's a saying or something the coach said, and everyone gets excited. And they go, that's Rashad's pump up, right? Good morning, church. All right, good morning, Rashad. And then he makes you guys do it again, right? That's his pump up. That's what gets him going. So what I want to do, what's that? I didn't hear. Oh, she said, good morning, Rashad. I'll let him know. He's going to listen to this, and I'm going to say, Paige called you out. All right? So anyway, I think we need to like act like we're at a concert and get excited. We're already super low in numbers because either you guys are faithful and the others aren't, or it's spring break and everyone's gone, okay? So that's where they're at. Everyone's down in Florida and somewhere away from this place, all right? Rashad is over preaching at Trinity today, and so that's why he's not here. But there's 8 or 9 families that are down in Florida right now, or down in that southern sunny sun stuff, and so that's where they're at right now. So sunny sun stuff. So anyway, I want to say good morning, Church on the Rock. I want you guys to act like you're in a concert, all right? So scream, cheer, do something besides just sit there, all right? So good morning, Church on the Rock.
Good morning, Jason.
There we go. I got at least one up cheering and scream. I know, it's just Jason Bieber. I like it. All right. I don't know who that is, but I like it. That's my new name, Jason Bieber. Anyway, so we're going to talk today. We're going to be in Luke chapter 14 if you want to go there. We're transitioning from look to love, and so we're going to be looking at Luke 14. And as we go through this, we're going to step on some toes, and I just want to say this real quick. When Rashad or myself or John, whomever might be up here preaching, and your toes feel like they're stepped on, it's not us. That's God, all right? Sometimes it's hard being up here saying things that God wants us to say because we know it hurts, because it hurts us when we prepare for it. It's like, oh, gosh, I got to say that to my church, and it hurts, and I know that. And another thing, if somebody says something up here, again, don't be bumps on a log. You can say amen. You can say, oh, that's good, or, oh, I don't like that. You guys can interact. It's okay. We'll be okay with that, all right? But talking about stepping on toes. 2 weeks ago, I was back in the kids' church, and I come out, and someone said, we saw your feet. And I was like, you saw my feet? And he said, yeah, Rashad showed a picture of your feet up here. And I'm like, okay. So I asked Rashad, I said, so what my feet look like? Because I did send him a picture of my feet. I was doing a weighing myself and just happened to get my feet in a picture. So I thought that's the picture he showed. And I was like, really? My feet are pretty, by the way. I ain't afraid to show anybody. Rashad will not show you his feet. So until he can show you guys his feet were the nasty ones that you guys had to turn away from and look, because he's got bunions and corns, all kinds of things on him. So just when he gets in here next week, tell him you want to see his feet, and he won't show them to you, I promise. But anyway, we're going to be in this scripture. I want to do something a little different today, too. When we look at this scripture and read it, I'm going to ask everyone to stand up that can and read along with me as we read Luke chapter 14, 28. Yes, please, stand up. Sorry, 25. Sorry, Lauren. I'll go back to that scripture here in a minute. Luke 14, 25. I know, especially for pregnant people. Now great crowds were traveling with him. So he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brother and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this day. Lord, we know our numbers are little today, but Lord, we know that your spirit is in this room. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come to church. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to freely open your word and to read it. Lord, we just ask that as we go through this sermon, Lord, that you will challenge us, Lord, that our hearts will be changed. In your son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I actually didn't want you guys like to read with me, but that was super cool, so I felt really good about that. Whoever started that mess, I probably didn't say it right and all that, but that was good. I was okay with that. Amen. Amen. I like it. All right? So anyway, I want to get started real quick. When I go and start studying Scripture to try to figure out what God would have me to preach, or as I'm just reading in general, I like to circle certain words that jump out at me. And so as I was reading this and going through, I read one, I got all the way down to verse 26, and finally something jumped out at me. But before I got there, I was like, man, why am I reading this? What's the point of this? And so I talked to Rashad, and I told Rashad, hey, this verse jumped out at me. He said, hey, check this out. Before you start even going into that, look real quick at excuses people make when it comes to church. And I'm like, okay, so now we're going to go in verse 18. So Luke chapter 14, verse 18 says, but without exception, they all began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. I ask you to excuse me. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. I ask you to excuse me. And another said, I just got married, and therefore I'm unable to come. So right here, these people, what is going on, and this guy invited people to come to his dinner, and people are making excuses. Who here would go buy 100 acres of land without ever seeing it? I need $1 million for 100 acres of land. Who's going to buy it? No one, but this guy uses an excuse. I just bought land, now I got to go see it. Who here is going to buy an animal and look at it, or not look at it, and say, hey, I want that animal, $2,000. So if anyone ever wants to get Jason Cervisi a gift, there's this thing called a Savannah cat. Has anybody ever seen these things? All right, they are amazing, right? They start out at $2,000, all right, and they go to $15,000. So I want the $15,000 one. So if anyone ever is looking for a gift for me, the $15,000, I won't even have to look at it. I will let you, I give you guys full reign to go buy me this cat. I would never, ever buy anything without ever looking at it. I don't go and say, hey, buy me a steak and I'll eat it. No, I want to see that steak. I want to make sure it's going to be good. So people are already making excuses and they already went. And then it says, I just got married and therefore I'm unable to come. I know when I got married and people invited me and my wife over to eat, we were there. I didn't have any excuses. I was, okay, here I come. So anyway, I'm telling you guys all this because here in just a few minutes, we're going to talk about excuses we make. Excuses to why we don't come to church. Excuses to why we don't come to Thrive. Excuses to why we don't have Fight Club partners or talk to anybody about God. So we're going to talk about that here real soon. So as I was preparing this, and I got back to verse 25, and it says, now great crowds were traveling with him. I got to thinking, who here has seen Forrest Gump? Raise your hand. Somebody's got to see Forrest Gump. Okay. So you guys remember this scene. He's sitting there on the bench. He's sitting there talking to the lady, and he talks about the moment that he decides as an adult, not as a young kid, but as the adult, he starts running. And he's running, and he's running. He runs to the what's that called when you're over the ocean and you're on a pier. There it is. The pier, right? He's on the pier. He's looking over, and he decides he's going to run some more. So he starts running. Well, he starts getting people. The news starts coming and following him. And when they start following him, what happens? People start following him. They have no idea why they're following Forrest Gump, except for there's news following him. And he's running, and he's running, and he won't speak. The news comes up to him, why are you doing this? I felt like running. People walks up to him and says, hey, I have a T-shirt business. I'm going out of business. You got any idea, something I can say to make this clever? Mud hits him in the face. The guy goes, yeah, this shirt doesn't sell anyway. It's yellow shirt. He gives it to him, puts it on his face, and he looks, and it's a smiley face. And it made the guy millions of dollars. But he will not speak to anybody, and he stops. I so picture Jesus doing the same thing. He's just walking to get to his next destination, tell people about his daddy and about him, about what he's here to do, and then he just stops. He stops, and when he stops, he churns. Could you guys imagine that moment when Jesus churned to say something? Everyone's like, stop, listen. Listen to what he's about to say. And what does he say? He says when he churns, he says to them, if anyone comes to me. That's such a key thing there, anyone. We talked about this a lot. I've heard Rashad say this before in the Greek, because Rashad's real big on the Greek, that all means all, right? And anyone means anyone. It doesn't matter if you're a girl. It doesn't matter if you're a boy. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, Chinese, Japanese. It does not matter anyone. If anyone comes to me, all right, he does and does not hate. I want to get on that word for a minute, hate. Does that word hate perk your ears up a little bit? Does it perk your ears up a little bit? When I read this scripture and I see the word hate, that was the very first word I circled in this whole entire thing, was the word hate. Because it says, hate your mother and father. Look what Exodus 20, verse 12 says. Exodus 20, verse 12 says, honor your father and your mother so that you may have a long life in the land that Yahweh, your God, is giving you. So I looked at this word hate, and God is saying here, hate your own father and mother. But in Exodus, he's saying, honor your father and mother. So I'm struggling with this word. This word is just really tearing me up. And then it says, hate your wife. But in Ephesians 5:25, it says this, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So I'm looking at this word hate, and now it's saying, love your wife, but now it says, hate your wife, and it's like, oh gosh, what God, what are you trying to get over to me? And then it talks about our children in Ephesians 6:4. It says, fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. If you told your child you hated them, would that stir up anger? Absolutely, it would stir up anger. But here Jesus is saying, hate your children. But here in Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, don't stir up anger in your children. And then it talks about our brothers and sisters in Matthew 5:22. But I tell you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, foul, will be subject to the Sanhedrin. But whoever says, you moron, or fool, I'm sorry, I said foul, sorry. Fool, I will be subject to the Sanhedrin. But whosoever says, you moron, you will be subject to hellfire. So this word hate is messing with me. I'm like, why is God using this word hate? I don't understand why God is using this word hate. And so I start looking into it, and I start digging into it. And in the New Testament, in the Holman, it's translated 41 times the word is hate is used in the New Testament. So I start digging in. I'm like, why is God using this word hate here? And then I start digging into the Greek of the word hate, and it's used 7 times. And the reason God used hate here was to get our attention. He wants us to see that we have to put him first before our own father and mother. We have to put him first before our wives. We have to put him first before our children. We have to put him first before anyone, even before our own selves. And we're going to get there in just a second when we talk about ourselves. But God wants us to know that this is serious. That's why he used that word hate. When I seen that word, I was like, why, God, would you use this word when you tell us in every other part of Scripture, 10 commandments, honor your mother and father. So now you're telling me to hate them. All right? I know sometimes kids that are in here, you want to hate your parents. Okay, thank you, Ryland. All right? Because your parents tell you to do things, right? But what's God say? Honor, Ryland, you're listening. Honor your mother and father. All right? So make sure that we're honoring. So I wanted to get that out because that really messed with me when I started reading this. That hate word just was a struggle for me to comprehend why God would use such a, what do we say, a hate word. I don't even know what other, evil, an evil word. That's why I always tell my kids, don't say that. When my kids, when I'm in the bedroom or something, I hear Cole and Natalie argue, and I hear one of them say, I hate you, or I'm like, whoa, that jumps me up. I get out of whatever I'm doing. I go see what's going on, because that word is strong. It's a strong word, and when it's said, God wants to get your attention, all right? So sometimes it's easy. I know people here that don't speak to their mothers and fathers, all right? I don't speak to my mom very often at all, okay? So I know that that sometimes happens, all right? Wives, husbands and wives end up getting divorced, right? Children and parents, they end up losing their connection with each other, but yourself. So God now turns it on you, and he says, yes, even his own life We have to put Jesus above ourselves. We have to put Jesus above who we are. You can go there, 1 Corinthians. It says, don't you yourself know that you are God's sanctuary and that the Spirit of God lives in you? We are the Holy Spirit's sanctuary. Don't you yourself know that you are God's sanctuary and that the Spirit of God lives inside you? And Jesus is saying here, hate yourself. And you cannot be my disciple. Who here knows what disciple means? Disciple means a devoted follower of Christ. We are to be a devoted follower of Christ. It says, whoever does not bear his own cross and comes after me cannot be my disciple. The word cross here, Easter is 3 to 4 weeks away now, and the story of the cross, it's devastating if you look at it. The image of the cross, there's someone in this church that does not like to even look at the image of the cross. They say, I don't know why people would decorate their house that way. I don't like looking at the cross. Why? The cross is really, yes, it's what saved us, right? The cross is what saved us. But when you look at it and what the cross stands for, it's crucifixion. And so when we think about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, when we sit there and think as Easter is coming upon us and we think about Jesus' arms are spread out and he's sitting here like this and he's on the cross, you know what the number one cause of death was on the cross? Suffocation. All right, people suffocated. So the Bible talks about how Jesus wouldn't suffer a broken bone. So when people were here on the cross like this, they'd have to take a breath and they would stand up, take that deep breath, and then fall back down. And then after a while, they got tired of them doing that, so they'd come and take a sledgehammer or some kind of rod or something and snap their legs so they couldn't lift up anymore. All right, it was a gruesome death. But the Bible said that Jesus wouldn't suffer a broken bone. So what killed Jesus? If he was able to sit there and have all the authority, or all the power to just stand back up, what killed him? If he didn't suffer a broken bone, what killed him was our sin. Our sin is what killed him. The weight of our sin killed Jesus. Just take that in for a minute and think about just this morning. I mean, I can think of several things. I got woken up by my neighbor at 4:30 this morning talking in his garage with a friend. Oh, I was angry. 4:30 in the morning, my wife is like, who is talking? All right, that one sin by me thinking I just want to go out there and smack him, all right, that's a sin. I shouldn't think that way, all right, just that one sin. And the sin of the entire world was so heavy, Jesus just died and suffocated with that because of each and every one of our sins, something that we struggle with each and every day. So many of us wanted not to come here this morning, all right? I heard someone walk in this morning, they were like, I really didn't even want to come because it was raining and cold outside. All right, we make excuses to why we don't want to come here. Church on the Rock offers 5 thrives. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. All right, Russell's is Sunday. Campbell's is Monday. Tuesday is Walker's. Wednesday is myself. And Thursday are the Allens. We offer 5 opportunities to through the week to go meet together with other brothers and sisters in Christ and to get fed God's word. And we make excuses. A lot of us use our children for excuses. I know I have done it myself. I've done it personally myself. But I also know, being involved in Brownsburg, that you can only do 3 activities a week. If we're offering 5 thrives and you're only allowed 3 sport activities a week, you still have 2 days to pick from. All right, I know that because I'm highly involved. But we'll make excuse after excuse after excuse to why we can't be at church, why we can't be at a Thrive. We averaged 101, 102, I can't remember the exact number, for the first quarter of the year, and we averaged 51 people at Thrives through the week. Why is that? Because we're making excuses to why we don't want to bear our own cross. Jesus, we killed Jesus. We put him on that cross. Our weight of our sin is what killed him, but we're making excuses to why we can't be at Thrive. We're making excuses to why we can't be at church. Am I saying never miss? No. No. Am I mad at the 8 families that are on vacation? No, because when I go on vacation, I want to enjoy it. I don't want to think, oh, I'm getting judged at home because I'm not at church right now. So anybody on vacation that's listening to this, I'm not judging you. Just know that, all right? But we do. We just make excuse after excuse after excuse to why we don't go to these things, all right? Now, that's the physical thing. At home, when you're by yourself, who picks this up and reads it? Who sits here and really studies God's word and asks God, God, what do you want me to get out of your word today? Who actually sits here and does that? Or are we making excuses? Oh, look, the sun's coming out, so I need to, as soon as church is over, I need to get outside. I need to go fishing. I went to church. I don't need to dig in his word until next Sunday. We're guilty. I've been there. I know that. I used to take that for granted. Oh, I'll be at church next Sunday. Why do I need to read his word through the week? I'm guilty. I've done it myself. Oh, there's a midweek service. Ah, we can miss that today. We don't need to go this week. Why? I just don't want to go. We just make excuses for everything, just like they did here. They bluntly lied. Oh, I bought land. I need to go look at the land now. Hey, I bought these oxen. Now I need to go look at these oxen. No, you do that beforehand before you buy something. But we always are going to make excuses to avoid God and to make us feel better about ourselves. But God says, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciples. It says in Galatians 2, 19 through 20, it says, for though the law, I have died to the law, so that I might live for God, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the Jesus that we're supposed to love. This is the Jesus that we need to worship. And we get so caught up, and it says we are crucified with Christ. You guys understand what that means, to be crucified? To be crucified with Christ, that he lives in us now. Once you've accepted him and said, Jesus, I love you. Please forgive me of my sins. You're a new creature. Now you have the opportunity to go out and tell somebody. I was listening to Rashad's sermon 2 weeks ago, and he said on there that we're all preachers. We all can go tell someone how we got saved. Last week, John talked about, I thought it was pretty cool, pirates to pastors, right? This is the two part. We have to get through this to understand what the sacrifice is. We are called to suffer. Because we're Christians doesn't mean our life's going to be perfect. And matter of fact, because we're Christians, we're going to suffer. There's things that are going to happen, and we're going to say, oh, forget it. I'm not even going to be a Christian now. That's dumb. Why did that have to happen to me? No, things happen all the time, all right? And we are to grow from them opportunities, all right? We're supposed to do what God would have us to do, and that is follow him in every step that we take. But we have the pity party. We have the excuses. We have, oh, but I can't do that because we just choose not to do it. It's such a bad thing that we do when we make excuses for someone that willingly died, that lives within us. He's right here in our hearts every day, and we make excuses to why we can't worship him. We make excuses. He got us out of bed this morning, but I ain't going to do anything for him. But he woke you up this morning. But I'm not going to do anything for him. Jesus willingly died. That cross, it is. After that person told me that, I looked at the cross a whole different way, that people... As a matter of fact, we took the one cross we had in our house down. Because when you look at it, it is a terrible thing that we put him up there. He did that for us. If it was just Cole Cervisi that Jesus had to come, live a perfect life, did nothing wrong, and bore the whole weight of the entire world through sin that actually made him suffocate to die for Cole, he would have. All right, he would do that just for you. So we need to make that a personal thing. We make it to, like, we always like to break out John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world. Put your name in there. For God so loved Jason Cervisi. For God so loved Elizabeth Cervisi. For God so loved Elizabeth Cervisi. All right? or Natalie Cervisi, or Lucy Kelly. I didn't want to say anybody else's name. I'm going to Josh Allen, right? So God died for all of us. And if it was an individual person, he would have died for you too. I want to look at Luke 9, verse 23. It says this. Then he said to them all, if anyone wants to come with me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. This ain't a week-by-week thing. This is a daily thing. We are to do this daily. We are to take up our cross each and every morning we wake up and think about what God has done for us. The breath we're breathing is because God is allowing us to take that breath in. We have to remember that. Sometimes we take things for granted all the time, all the time. I drive to work. I get there safely. Don't say anything to God. Thank you for getting me there. I get out of the car, go to work. Don't thank God for work every day, right? Who here has ever been laid off and struggled financially? I have, and it's not fun. It's a struggle. And I question God, why are you allowing this? Why are you allowing this suffering to me? Why are you allowing this to happen? But the Bible says things are going to happen. We are made to suffer. And so we need to take up our cross daily and follow him. All right? Then he said to them all, if anyone, again, if anyone wants to come with me, that's basically the exact same words he said when he turned around, when he turned. All right? Everyone was in awe because here he is about to speak. When he speaks, we should listen. If you guys look at who's got a Bible where it's marked in red, these are Jesus' words. Luke is writing Jesus' words down. All right? He is quoting Jesus. This isn't Luke writing. Well, I'm sorry. It is Luke writing, but it is Jesus' words. All right? If anyone wants to come with me, he must deny himself. We have to deny ourselves. And that's hard. That's why it's so important right here where it says in verse 25, you don't have to go there, Lauren, but it says, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. We cannot be a Christ follower unless we deny ourselves. We can't be a Christ follower unless we bear our own cross. All right? What's it say in the Bible? We just read it. Go back to Galatians 2:19, please, where it says, I have been crucified with Christ. There's no other time to think about the crucifixion than now. Easter is right around the corner. We need to think about that each and every day, not just because Easter's here, not just because, what do we call it, Lent or Advent? What is it, Lent? All right, just because Lent's here, that's not something we should think of that every single time we get up. Every time we get to lay our heads down and go to sleep, we need to think that we were crucified with Christ. I've had the great opportunity at work. I don't know if you guys saw that group me that we sung that amazing, wonderful tune of Happy Birthday to Ayana. I mean, it was on key. It was beautiful, right? So five guys. So those are basically all the guys I eat lunch with every single day. And my goal every day is to bring Christ up to them. I don't know how I'm going to do it every day, but I try. And some days I struggle. And there's a guy I've told you guys, his name's Dusty Stein. He's a big, we call him Meathead. They call him an ape. He's just lifts weight. He's huge. And he's an Indian. And I talk to him constantly about God, and he talks to me constantly about the spirits, right? About the whatever that is. But he told me this week that 7 months ago he accepted Christ as a Savior. And I was like, what, Stein? What did you say? And so we've had this opportunity all week. He told me that Tuesday. So all this week we've got to talk about God and Jesus and what happened and what steps in his life led him to accept Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And so I got the opportunity to talk to him about giving himself up, deny himself daily, which is a tough thing for him to do right now. He's learning, but it was just an amazing thing to hear God say, or for Dusty to tell me that he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior, all from having lunch every single day with him. And trust me, some of the subjects aren't very Christian, but that's okay. We have to be among the world to tell the world who Jesus is. Because if we're not among them telling them, if we're not the only, we sometimes are the only Bible people read. And if we don't carry ourselves and take up our cross daily and live for Jesus, some people might never see it. And then when we get to heaven and face Jesus face to face and he asks us questions, what are we going to say? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. I don't want to be that person. I want to be the one, Jesus says, my good and faithful servant. I want to be the one that Jesus says, you took every opportunity you could to tell someone about me. The hardest conversations to have are with your family and with your closest friends. And those are the ones that we need to talk to the most. They're the ones that we're with constantly. One of the things that drives me crazy is when I see a friend of mine that is, I know that they're a strong Christian. I know that they stand for God in everything, but their best friend that they've been best friends with for years doesn't even know they're a Christian. That's not good. That's not good at all, not to tell people about your faith, about your Jesus, and God will say, depart from me, you lawbreakers. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be the one that Jesus looks at and says, you did not do what I sent you to do. We might be the only one that plants the seed. I had a youth ask me a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, now I can't remember, but they said, why do you tell people about Jesus and they do nothing, they laugh in your face? And I told them, I said, you just plant the seed and let the Holy Spirit do the watering. That's all we have to do. Just tell our friends who Jesus is, who our God followers are, and who we follow, which is Jesus Christ, and plant that seed and let other people do the watering. But it's so sad to see someone that goes to church week in, week out, goes to small group or to a midweek service, and their very best friend or even their own family don't even know that they're a Jesus follower because they don't speak up and tell them. People at work, this just recently happened because there's an incident that happened at work. And so now work is all over. They're like, they won't cuss around me now because they're afraid I'm going to turn them in, tell on them. They won't do any of this stuff because they know that I know all the rules at work and that they break them constantly. And I could easily tell on them, but I don't want to tell on them because I don't want to be the one that draws them away from God. But at the same time, there's that fine line, right? There, you can't cuss at my work, but every single person cusses at my work. They use every word you can think of, even the one that makes me cringe. But I could go and write every single one of them up. But if I do that, what are they going to do? They're going to turn their back on me and not listen to anything I say. So I have to walk that fine line. I don't want to listen to it. So what do? When they start talking real rude and crude, I just turn around and walk away. And I hear this all the time from them. Oh, look, the preacher's walking away. But that's okay. I don't care about that. Because they know who I am, they know who my Jesus is. And I tell them who my Jesus is. Work in a place that's this holier-than-thou place. If we do, please let me know because I want to come work with you. All right? But we need to make sure that we tell people who our Jesus is. Right now is the perfect opportunity. Christmas and Easter are the two times that's the easiest time to talk about Christ. All right? Because everyone's celebrating Christmas, and you can ask them, why are you celebrating Christmas? Do you even know what that means? And Easter. You know what my Jesus did for me, all right? We call it Easter. I like to call it Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday should be Resurrection Sunday, all right? Jesus is alive and well, and he is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and he's waiting on someone here to call his name. Today, if you don't know Jesus, if you're like, oh, I'm that one that makes all these excuses, you can accept him as you sit right here, right now. And it's so easy. God has given me the great opportunity to lead little Brooklyn Glover like this. All right, she came to me 2 weeks ago and said, Mr. Jason, I want to be a Christian. And when you hear a kid say that, I'm like, it breaks my heart to hear that. But at the same time, I want to make sure they understand the great responsibility that comes with that. And so I talked to Brooklyn. I asked her questions, and she had all the answers. She knew everything. I've had adults not answer the questions she was answering. And she was saying words that I'm not sure I even understood. I'm like, how did you know that word? My mommy and daddy. All right. So what's that saying? We need to make sure that just not back there is raising your children in God, but we all are raising our kids in God. All right? As we close, I want to offer an invitation, which means if none of you, if some of you, if all of you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, you can do it today. You can sit in your seat. You can come up to me and say, pray with me. There's so many different ways, but all you have to do is call out to him and ask him to forgive you, and he will do it right now. But just because you're saved, don't think, oh, my life's better. Remember, there's a message coming up in 2 weeks that we're going to talk about. We are called to suffer. It's not going to be this butterfly and peaches or however that saying goes. We're going to have times. What's the saying? Somebody help me. What is it? Peaches and cream? Whatever. All right. What I'm saying? Somebody help me. Butterflies and rainbows. I knew one of the moms had it, right? It's not all butterflies and rainbows when you accept Christ as your Savior. Because if it was, I wouldn't have had the last month I had at work. Trust me, I had a bad month at work. I literally almost just walked out. All right? It's not always good. But then Dusty tells me this week he got saved. And 2 weeks ago, I was ready to walk out the door. All right? God does amazing things. Rashad posted something the other day about how a guy that he recruited to this job and how this guy's job, how he was literally eating out of trash, and now his life is so much better. Rashad's sick of his job. He doesn't want to be there. He wants to be here full time. But that's just not God's will right now. All right? And he's suffering. He's suffering for that. All right? It's hard. So when I say, oh, accept Christ and it'll all be better, that's not true. Accept Christ and be ready to take up your cross daily. Be ready for the challenges that God will give you. Love you guys. Hope you guys have a great day. Looks like the sun's coming out. So we'll see you guys.
This podcast is a ministry of Church on the Rock. If you would like to learn more, please visit our website at www.churchontherockbb.com.